Okay, thank you very much. This talk is not about CO2 or plant assimilation, but it has it is related to a climate generator model that is being used in plant models too. Cligen is one of the most known models that has a stochastic weather generator that simulates daily precipitation, maximum, minimum, and dew point temperatures, solar radiation, and wind velocity and direction. This model has been used in other models, like the Water Erosion Prediction Project, WEP from ARS, OPUS from Non-Point Source Pollution, and other models, and has been widely tested at daily scale. Unfortunately, there's not much advances about the rainfall event itself. This model was selected in these water erosion models because it's capable of simulating the temporal distribution of the storm and to generate the kind of hiatrograph like the one you see on the right. As I told you, it worked quite well at daily scale. But when you use it for the storm itself and you are concentrated in topics like water erosion, nutrients transport, water pollution, it has problem because overestimate the duration of the brief storms, underestimate the duration of the prolonged storms, and because the model works in a series, after calculating the duration, it calculates the intensity. So if you have problem with the duration, you will have problem with the intensity, so the energy provided by the rainfall will be estimated not in the right way. So the main purpose of this study was to develop and test a method to improve Cligen, but with two challenges: without modifying the model's equations and not touching the source code. Why? Because this model is part of another model, so the user usually don't have access to the source code. Then you have to use the model as it is. We have been working with the authors of the models, and most of the things that we have found will be implemented probably in the near future in the model. But so far, you cannot touch the model itself. So what can you do from outside the model? So we tested this model with 30 meteorological stations located in central Chile, and basically, the model is quite complex, but just to give you a brief review about how this works. The model works with transition probabilities that calculate or are calculated about the data that you already have, and estimated probabilities of having a wet date after a wet day, a wet day after a dry day. So with that, it predicts if this day will be rainy or dry. So that's the first step. Then, with an equation like this one, it calculates the amount of rainfall that falls during that event based on the statistic that you provide to the model related to the standard deviation of the events, of the rainfall, and the skewness coefficient. I'm talking just about the rainfall. This presentation will be just about that topic, not the rest of the variables. So, combining those two things, the model predicts the hiatrograph. And the first thing that does, it is calculate the duration of the storm. And for the duration of the storm, it uses a constant, that is lambda, that is in the source code of the model, but also use an alpha 0.5, which is a ratio of the maximum 30 minutes rainfall amount to the daily precipitation amount. And this value is calculated by the user based on the historical rainfall data from the site. And after that, it calculates the maximum rainfall intensity with the equation that appears on the top. And with that, you plus these other two other equations, two exponential equations, it produces the shape of this hiatrograph, an exponential to go up, an exponential to go down, and with that you have a pretty neat hiatrograph. Unfortunately, this worked quite well for convective storms, which are typical from the area where, with the data that it was used to build this model. But what happened when you use it in a frontal storms area, like the one that we have in south in Chile, north in Europe, for instance, England, where the maximum intensity is pretty similar to the rest of the storm? So we use 30 meteorological stations located in central Chile. We use more than 415 years of rainfall records, and we isolated 1,800 storms, and we tested the model with those storms. Here are some general information about the location that we use. Some stations had a very short rainfall record, just 2 years. Others has 29. And in average, we have something close to 17 years per station. The calibration that we performed, it was this one. The model calculated the duration, as I told you, based on this parameter. And this parameter is calculated based on the maximum 30 minutes rainfall intensity to the daily rainfall, total rainfall depth. At the same time, this value that is here, it is calculated based on the number of rainy days that you have per month, and all these values are calculated on a monthly base, not annual base. You have 12 values along the year. And finally, you have to solve this equation. So this is where we made the change. We replaced all the equations inside, and instead of calculating from our data the maximum 30 minutes rainfall intensity, we calibrated this value in order to produce the same rainfall storm duration that it was measured in our stations. This value is usually provided to the model. So in a very simple routine in MATLAB, or even you can do it if you have some skills in Excel, you solve this equation in the opposite direction. You have the duration of your storm, so you have to just to find what number will produce in client the same duration or very close. Mathematically, it's not possible to get to the same number, but very close, and you solve the problem in the opposite direction. The good thing about that approach is that here you have a print screen from the input file to client, and you have 12 columns, one per month, different parameters that you have to calculate from your rainfall data, and one of them is the maximum 30 minutes precipitation. So you usually calculate that from your data, but in this case, we put the number that we find that it was producing the similar rainfall duration. Something we are winning, something we are losing on this thing. We are winning, we suppose, a better agreement with the actual data. But we are losing something that is the physical meaning of that parameter. So now it's not actually the real 30-minute rainfall intensity. It's something else that produces a storm duration that it would be equivalent to the one that we have in that site. And finally, for the method, we put all together in one just one big number, that is the rainfall erosivity. The rainfall erosivity was something created in 1972 with the Universal Soil Loss Equation model, the USLE, and the Russell model. And this guy has the creativity to put the intensity, the duration, and the rainfall depth in just one equation. So it was very neat approach to us, because in one number, we can combine all the characteristics of the rainfall event, and because also other models have been used to generate the rainfall erosivity in different parts of the world, but using clients. So we use it also in our calculation. The results show this thing. The first is the number of storms per month per station. This is the average number of storms predicted by client per each one of the month and each one of the station. For that reason, we have 360 data points. We have 30 stations, 12 months per station. That is 360. This result is not affected by the calibration. The fitting that we did doesn't affect this. This is client without any calibration. This is the one-to-one line, and this is the regression line. The slope is 134, and here you have the Kolmogorov-Smirnov test that we use to test how many stations from out of those 30 produce the statistically same value as the one that it was predicted with client, or the opposite. How many stations were predicted in the right way with client? Some of them were 28, 27 out of 30, in average 26 stations. This is not affected by the calibration. This is just by the model itself. The other thing that also we generated with the model is the rainfall amount per storm. This is also not affected by the model. This is previous to the duration effect. The model by itself, it predicts with an R square of 0.7, 0.81, the slope, and an average of 26 stations were producing the right way, the right results. This is the first graph that shows our comparison. This shows the storm duration, the D, in our equation. You have more data points. It's a little confusing, but think about those whites and the black dots. The white squares show the result before calibration, and the black dots, the result after the calibration. This is a measured duration, and this is the generated duration. This is the one-to-one line. This one is the one before calibration with a slope of 147, and this is the one after the calibration, 113. After the calibration, 11 stations had a good fit, and after that, the number increased to 17. The R-square increased from 0.41 to 0.65. The second result is the rainfall intensity. Same as the previous graph, we have a combination of data, both phenomena shown in the same graph. Before calibration, the R-square was 0.36 and increased to 0.63. The slope before it was 0.70 and then increased to 1.03, very close to the one-to-one line. If you combine these two things in one parameter, you can calculate the rainfall erosivity. This graph has only 30 data points for each one of the combination. Why? Because the rainfall erosivity, it's an average annual value. So you have only 30 points because you have 30 stations. That's the reason that it looks so clean compared to the clear to the previous graphs. And before the calibration, the results show that the R-square was 0.66, and after that, it was 0.89. Before, we have 11 stations that passed the test, and after that, we have 29 stations that passed the test. This is very neat in the sense that there's two or three papers that have published results using CLIGEN to evaluate the climate change or other issues, and they calculate the rainfall erosivity and they link it to water erosion. I work in water erosion, so I have crossed and used those papers too. But if you realize it, and if you use CLIGEN as it is to predict the rainfall erosivity, and because the rainfall erosivity is directly related to the soil loss, and you can have something that is 40% less soil erosion if you don't calibrate the model. If you calibrate it, you can have an error of 5% in average. So the error can be a lot if you use one or the other approach. Finally, this is a simple method that does not require modifying the source code. You can do it from outside. Probably in the near future, we are working now with the people from Purdue University and Dennis Flanagan, Jim Frankenberger there, that are willing to insert this thing inside the model so the user can select or put it as a number inside the model. The calibration method was successfully in most of the study sites. Independent, it's a site-independent method in the sense that it doesn't depend on the amount and the number of storms. In the north, we have 200 millimeters per year in our stations, up to 2,000 millimeters per year in the south. In the north, we have 5 rainfall events per year, and in the south, you have maybe 25 or 30 events. So if you put the central zone in Chile in the U.S. map, you are crossing most from the north to the Arizona in the south. It's quite similar climate. And accurately simulating rainfall erosivity enhances the soil loss resulting using WEP and any other model that is using this to evaluate some climate change effects in the near future. I want to acknowledge at the end to two institutions who provide, one of them provide support to this research, one of them provided the materials and the funding for it, and the other one provide all the rainfall data that we use in this study. Thank you very much.
Thank you for an excellent presentation. Do you have time for questions?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What is the purpose of generating this data?
because in the two models that are using this data actually, there's more than two, but the two that I really have been working with, which is WEP, it generates the storms. And then it linked the storm to the runoff event and then to the water erosion process. In the other one, in the Opus model, this generates also the storm to generate the water erosion plus the nutrients transport and sediment transport along the hill slope. I don't know if that answered your question. Yeah.
Otherwise, what you can use it to do is, you don't have that in a place, you can look at the hydroclimatic homogeneous region. It's transferable. You do it in hydrology every day.
Yeah.
Every storm is transferable within the region. So you don't have to have that at a particular place to do that kind of study.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Actually, we had at this time hourly data. The one that we used it was hourly data. It's not very available in all over the world, but you can use it with no problem now. Even though you need 30 minutes rainfall intensity, you can predict that value based on hourly data. Okay.
More for crop predictions, but do you have a sense, and I think you mentioned in your introduction that the methods for estimating rainfall intensity and the frequency plots, they differ for different geographies. So the work you've done here, is that really, it's more location specific, or is it something that I should be considering for simulation during run, up in the U.S.? Or, I guess that's my question. How universal is the calibration that you've made?
Yeah, actually, our approach it was for frontal storms, close to the seaside, and that's the reason why Clyen didn't work well. For that reason, we don't complain about Clyen. Clyen is doing the thing that it was built. It was where it was calibrated to that time, but because we are in a country that is very close to the sea, you don't really want to know how it behaves. And most of the study had been done at daily scale, and at daily scale it still worked fine. If we tested at daily scale in a frontal storm, it worked fine. The problem with the storm itself, and the thing that we found is that I have just to show you a quick view. This is the storm distribution for the type of storm that you have here in the United States. They are classified as type 1, 1A, 2, and 3. And they concentrate in the center of the storm, and they reduce the intensity at the end. If you take and you average, and you take one station in central Chile, which is Colorado, it's not Colorado State, the state of Colorado is Colorado in Chile, look at this line. Exactly. It's actually, the slope is constant. As long as you have the rainfall, it rains in the same way the entire storm event. That's the reason that it didn't work.
Fascinating description. I worked with Clyen a little while back, many years ago too. So it's very interesting. But we saw that we have a machine who's waiting to do a thing. So
thank you very much.